welcome back to Up the Villa podcast. We've got a special episode, opposition preview for Aston Villa v Olympiacos. Delighted to be joined by Stephen, who contributes on Hellas Football and is a Greek football expert. How you doing, mate?
I'm good, thank you, Luke. How are you?
Yeah, very good. And I'm just really looking forward to the game, to the tie. It's, you know, it's big for both clubs. European semi-final, chance to get to the Europa Conference League final. And I think from a Villa point of view, what we normally do on these is sort of like run through the club and stuff. But what I felt like would be good on this one is if we get a bit of a insight into who are Olympiacos, what are their honours, what have they done, where do they sort of sit in Greek football, really. So what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, to start with, just to kind of give context, Olympiacos is the most coveted, most successful Greek side in the Super League. 47 league titles, 28 Greek Cups, 4 Greek Super Cups. It's technically not a UEFA competition, but we have won the Balkans Cup as well, which is technically a European trophy that's counted among our major honours. So I guess there's that too. And, you know, I guess it's some things. But yeah, we're the most successful club in Greece. Like I said, we have more league titles than any other team, combining all the big four teams like Panathinaikos, AEK, Balk, Aris. They don't have as many titles as us combined. So it just shows the level of success we've had in nearly 100 years now. Next year's our 100th anniversary. So I'm really looking forward to getting that centenary kit, as it were, in 2025-26, when that comes out. And to, you know, Olympiacos in Europe has, we've always had a consistent appearance in European football. We're one of the most appeared clubs in the Champions League group stages. We tend to reach the knockout stages, certainly the Europa League in more recent times. We've been to the round of 16 a few times. The last time we reached the round of 16 of the Champions League was 10 years ago now. We beat Man United in the first leg in Piraeus, and then they came back and Robin Van Persie broke our hearts with his hat-trick in at Old Trafford. But Olympiacos, the one thing Olympiacos hasn't ever had, and what a lot of the other rival fans like to kind of have over our heads, is that we've never reached the latter stages, the latter stages of major European tournaments. So obviously, Panathinaikos, they reached the European Cup final against Ajax in 1971. And AEK Athens are consistent, kind of, well, consistently were in the kind of old Europe UEFA Cup semi-finals once or twice. They've done that. And so Olympiacos, we've reached the quarterfinals of the Champions League once, and that's it. We've never reached a semi-final before. So this is a huge first for us. And it's been an amazing journey. It's been a crazy journey this season overall, I'd say.
Yeah, because the title race, it's quite tight. Was it quite tight? When I looked at the table, it was like, you know, there was about 3 or 4 teams that were quite congested. So how's the overall sort of domestic season been?
It's been quite, to put it frankly, it's been mental. It's been absolutely ridiculous. Just from an Olympiacos standpoint, we've had such a topsy-turvy roller coaster season. You know, we started with, like, I think we've had like three, four managers this season. We've had 3 sporting directors in the space of what, 7, 8 months. And over the last 2 seasons, we've had at least 60 players come through the team, and, you know, transfers in, transfers out. So it's not been a place of stability for Olympiacos, you know, similar to Nottingham Forest, who Evangelos Marinakis also owns. And this season, yeah, it's felt like we've gone from, you know, being one of the favourites for the title to being completely down and out, to being nearly out of Europe, to being suddenly in contention for Europe somehow, despite the fact we're the outside, kind of ranked outsiders for the Conference League overall. And as it stands, there are 3 games left for Olympiacos. And if we win all 3 of them, we could be crowned Super League champions if we win all 3 of those games. And so it's not easy by any means, but yeah, it's been ridiculous. And just at Greek football as a whole, it's been the most competitive league season, I think, in the history in recent times, certainly for the title. You know, the big four are all competing for a major trophy, which is almost unheard of in Greek football. You know, it's normally Olympiacos running away with it, or we have an off season and someone else wins a major title. But it's good for the sport. It's good to see the levels kind of been upped you know, the big four, Olympiakos, Panathinaikos, Balkan, and AEK. And it really could be anyone's title to win at this point, even though, we win three games, we win the title. It's not as simple as that with the teams we have to play.
Yeah, it sounds really exciting. And football's a bit weird sometimes when you sort of look at different sort of scenarios. And when we were doing our match preview yesterday, we looked at the Olympiakos manager. And when we delved into it, there's a guy that helps us out called AVFC Scout. So I've got to shout him out. And he did a little paragraph saying that the Olympiakos manager was at Seville. And Monchi, who's Villa's new recruitment strategist guy, was there at Seville with the Olympiakos manager. Unai Emery has played against the Olympiakos manager like numerous times and came out on top. I think he's got 6 wins, 4 losses, and there's draws in there. So it feels like they all know each other a little bit and they've worked with each other. So you mentioned, how long has this manager been at Olympiakos? Did you mention you've had a few managers this season?
Yeah, so we started the season with Diego Martinez, who was a bit of an up-and-coming younger Spanish manager, had some really good ideas. We played some attractive football under him, and we started off reasonably well in the season overall. You know, we were at least in the top two when he started out. We qualified for the Europa League. We beat West Ham under him as well. So things were going okay, and then just our trajectory started to downward spiral a little bit. He was harshly sacked, if I'm completely honest. I don't regret having the current manager we have now over him, but at the time it was harsh, considering he was brought in to create a project, a long-term idea for the club, which, you know, Olympiakos threw away after like 3 or 4 or 5 months. And then we brought in Carlos Carvajal, who, if people remember him, he was at Sheffield Wednesday, he was at Swansea as well, very briefly in the Premier League. He was a bit of a mercenary manager, if I'm honest. He came in, got us into the Conference League, sure. But then after that, it was utter chaos. And our season was almost over by the time he got sacked end of February. And so we brought in José Luis Mendilibar, who, you know, is ironic, really, because when he won the Europa League with Sevilla last season, he then played the UEFA Super Cup at the Yorgos Garriskakis Stadium, which is Olympiakos' home ground, against Manchester City. And so, ironically, about 7-8 months later, he becomes the manager of that very club. And so far, he's been excellent. I can't really... It's kind of hard to describe it any other way. It's been brilliant, you know. We've gone on this amazing run in Europe, which we never thought was capable with the current crop of squad of players we've got, because they're talented players. It's just they were playing so below the level midway through the season. We never thought that it was possible to kind of get to this latter stage, certainly. And to be back within a chance, like to have the league title in our hands, you know, as much as I have been trying to say all season, we're not favourites, we're not trying to win it, we're not in it. Just to kind of temper my own expectations, it is in our hands, you know, and he's been able to do that while, you know, I think he's used like almost every single member of the squad, from, you know, nailed on first team starters to players I didn't think were even going to be in the first team after, you know, February, March time when he first came in. So he's been really, really good in that regard. He's taken us to heights that I never thought we could. And the best part is, it's not even the best version of Olympiakos we've seen under Mendilibar, because we got him signed for next season. Hopefully he can bring players independent on where we qualify for Europe and if we qualify for Europe at all. So it's just the sky's the limit with him at the moment. And we've only just started.
Yeah, and you know, you're a well-decorated club in Greek football. So, you know, just touching on the project that he's got, what's like the football finances like within Greek football? Are you able to sort of spend decent money, or is it quite difficult? And where do like recruitment policies sort of come into it? Like, where do you generally find that the players come to Olympiakos from?
I mean, obviously, being one of the bigger clubs and being the biggest club, not just in my opinion, but it is a fact as well. we have a lot more access to better players than a lot of other teams do, although that has changed over time. You know, like I said, the other big Greek clubs have strengthened. They have their own set of really, really talented players, Greek and foreign as well. And I guess what I've always found with Olympiakos, they've really been able to delve into the free agent market and utilize the kind of talent that's there. So Ayoub El Kabi, who I'm sure we'll get into in a bit, he was a free transfer. He's scored 23 goals for us this season and he's been excellent. And, you know, the loan market, we've been trying to get into with the options to buy, like Andre Horta, who's one of our midfielders, who I think his buyout is maybe 5.5 million euros. We need to sign him up ASAP because he's been excellent. Daniel Podence, who was previously at the club, he's on loan at the moment with an option to buy, which I think will almost certainly be triggered with how well he's been with us this season. And also Wolves don't want him. And then there's the other side of it where, as I said, 60 players in two seasons is ridiculous. You know, we can't avoid that. And a lot of the players that haven't worked out, ironically, have been players we've signed on big contracts on from big fees. And it's just like those two things, Olympiacos and big fees, just don't mix. And so I think that we had to be really careful because obviously I know there's profit and sustainability in the Premier League, but you know, we have to abide by UEFA's financial fair play model, which probably isn't as harsh as profit and sustainability, but it's, we still have to be careful because, you know, we've seen clubs in Europe overspend massively in the past and in recent times and be banned from Europe. You know, I think Fenerbahce, one of the Turkish clubs, got banned a couple of years ago for breaching financial fair play. And so Olympiacos have to be careful. And it, and if we don't qualify for Europe this season in some capacity, it could be really tough to keep the players that we have on loan that we want to keep and also sign new players and even keep players that are, whose deals are expiring. Because there's a lot of players who are on the last couple of months of their contracts where clubs can just go up to them and say, hey, you want to join our club and get paid a massive amount of fees and like kind of separate the middleman? And they'll be like, yeah, great. So we need to, there's a lot of planning to do for next season.
It sounds exciting though. So talk to me about the style of play. Obviously with three managers, I imagine it's differed as the course of the season. So what can Villa sort of expect from Olympiacos? Maybe like the formation, the way that the press, attacking players, you mentioned the striker. I know the right winger looks pretty dangerous as well. So who do we need to watch out for as well?
So just on the style itself, José Mendilibar has really tried to, it sounds really like a generic thing to say, but he's tried to get the whole team to play as one. So if we need to defend off the ball, the whole team comes back and then breaks on the counter. And if the whole team is, and if we have the ball and we have possession, then the certain players will come into attack. He likes to have a lot of players in the box for defense and have a lot of players in the box for attack. And that's generally worked for us. And he's kind of, obviously, like you said, we have a hodgepodge of players from not even three managers ago, like five managers ago, because not only have we had three managers in or four managers in one this season, we've had eight managers in the last two seasons. It's just, that's how much of a mess we've been in. And I could make a series of podcasts on the last 2 years of Olympiacos and the problems we've had. But yeah, I think the standout players, like I said, Ayoub El Kabi, our top scorer, is been brilliant, really, really tenacious in the box. And he's going to be strikers score goals. So he's going to be really vital for us. Kostas Fortunis, you know, our captain, we regard him, and he pretty much is the best Greek player of his generation, 31 years old, but he's still doing it at a very high level. Scored important goals, you know, against West Ham. He scored against them. He scored against Fenerbahce at home for us in the quarterfinals. He's going to be really important because he can just create something out of nothing. And as you said, Yorgos Masouras, who's an absolute dog of a player, like hardworking attack and defense on the wing, he's going to be really important for us. He might not start, but whenever he doesn't start, he normally makes a huge impact when coming on because he brings a bit more directness onto the wing compared to Podence, who is a bit more tricky, is a bit more technical, but can sometimes get lost because if you nullify Podence, then he just is completely useless. But
but he generally scores against us, so Villa fans know Podence well.
probably start.
When I saw your team and I saw his name, I was like, no, not Podence. He's a good player, but you know, on his day, he's good and he can score a little bit of a worldie from out of nothing, really. A good player. Right back, I've heard you. Right back's quite good as well.
Oh yes, Rodinei has been. Oh, he's been exceptional this season. We got him. I can't remember how long because like there's been so many players. I think it was at least like 18 months, 2 years ago now, and he's just he's a real leader in the team as well, and he just bombs up and down the pitch. And he links up well with Fortunis, who normally plays in the right mid with him. And so he's really vital on both end, both sides of the pitch as well. And like I said, there's a loads of key players, you know, like David Carmo, who we brought in on loan from Porto. He's massively shored up the defence because by God, the defence was really frail at times this season. And we really needed a leader in that centre-back position. So he's come in and been excellent. And the midfield, two or three of Andre Horta or Chiquinho, who he got on a free transfer from Benfica, or Santiago Heze, who is one of the players this season who we signed for a fee that worked out, like a really high potential sort of hybrid 6-8 centre midfielder. He's been really, really excellent for us. So there's quality all over the pitch for Olympiacos that hopefully can turn up on the night, well, whether that be at Villa Park or at Gadaskaki next week.
How do you think Olympiacos will treat the first leg? Because we found the last one quite difficult because we were at home first, then you go away. That's more difficult for me. So how Lille came and had a go as well. Like Lille were terrific. Like over the course of the two games, they were really, really good. So how do you think Olympiacos will play the first game?
Well, that's the interesting part, because firstly, because I didn't mention the formation when you asked me, it'll either be a 4-3-3 or a 4-2-3-1 that's almost more like a 4-4-1-1, because we have Stefan Jovetic, if you recall, from Manchester City.
Yeah.
Mendilibar's been playing him sort of just behind El Kabi, so he's almost like the second striker slash number 10 slash hybrid, like kind of deep lying playing forward. And he's been really, really good in that sort of link-up play with the attack. And with regards to how we'll play this week, it's the first game in the knockout stages where we actually start the first leg away. We've had every single first leg be the home leg. And it hasn't really made that much of a difference either way where we've started, because we had the first leg against Ferenc Faros. We beat them the exact same way both times. We got absolutely thrashed by Maccabi Tel Aviv at home before we had to come back and beat them in the quarterfinals, which was one of the best games I've ever watched us play. And then Fenerbahce was the same. We beat them at home, lost over in the game against them in Turkey, but then beat them on penalties. So, and the key thing for Olympiacos, which, you know, some people will say it's a positive and some people say it's a negative. We have a week off from the Super League this weekend because of Orthodox Easter or Greek Easter. So there's no games played this weekend. So Mendilibar can go in, get them to play 110%, get them to actually run their socks off, and then next Thursday, they have a break, and then next Thursday is the second leg. So I think Olympiacos will just absolutely go all out, because it's our chance to reach not only our first major final ever in our history, but in Athens as well. And that's huge. It'd be like a home game, essentially.
Yeah. Do you think they'll come to Villa Park and have a bit of a go?
I think so. For sure. I mean, they might as well. I think we have... I don't know if it's fair to say we have less to lose than you, but we certainly, for us personally, we certainly have not that much to lose, because we've already exceeded our expectations, and to reach a final will be massive. But we're going to go there and do our absolute best to try and cause problems. And at the very least, I would like us to, if we do lose, to not lose massively by like a massive scoreline, because I think Gareskagi will be key if we only lose 1-0 and take it back to Piraeus. That is still a very dangerous scoreline for Villa to take with them in the first leg.
Yeah, and it was the same against Lille, because we were 2-0 up, cruising, and then we conceded, and then it's only one goal, and momentum in games, the atmosphere, everything can swing, and yeah, it becomes really, really difficult. So talk to me about the atmosphere, what Villa can expect in the return leg. Some of the images that I've seen, it looks like the old place is on fire at some point. But yeah, so, you know, how noisy will it be? And what will sort of, will there be TIFOs and flares and stuff? What's it like?
So I've seen games sell out quickly, but not this quickly. Like when they release tickets for the home leg, I think they announced it 2 hours later, sold out completely. Justifiably so, because it's a major semi-final. It's never happened before in the history of the club. The atmosphere, I can guarantee, will be amazing. Maybe intimidating for Aston Villa, but for Olympiacos, you know, it's going to be they're going to absolutely sing their hearts out for 90 minutes plus if we end up going to extra time as well. Flairs, probably not, because, you know, I'm sure if you haven't been following Greek football, there's been a lot of controversy with flares and with firecrackers, and the atmosphere that has been created in a negative way has caused a lot of on the field issues that have then led to off the field issues in courts and legal trouble. And so a lot of Greek clubs have been advised not to do that. Some fans ignore it. Generally, I think that the general consensus with Olympiacos support, certainly on social media, is that if you're going to the stadium, create an atmosphere in a better way than that, because there can be no way of there can be nothing that sort of spoils the day, or because there have been games this season, like I said, there was the derby against Panathinaikos, which didn't finish because a firecracker was thrown at an opposing player. The opposing team walks off the pitch, and so it was in the courts for months and months and months until, you know, there came a decision where we lost the game 3-0, minus 3 points. Then we took that to the court of arbitration, and then we didn't get a result back till February about what happened. So, in short, there will be tifos, because some of the tifos Olympiacos fans and Gate 7, the ultras in particular, create are amazing. But hopefully there's nothing that no issues will be caused from it. And I would also like to say that they're because I think some European fans do get a bad reputation for kind of hooliganism and such. I don't think there'll be that problem. You know, I could be wrong, and I hope I'm wrong, but I would like to think that the atmosphere will be created in the best way possible, and for footballing reasons only.
Yeah, no, I think yeah, it sounds exciting. We had some problems with Legia Warsaw. I don't know whether you saw that. They all turned up without tickets, and they didn't want to have the tickets. We gave them. They wanted more tickets, and we said no. And then they all just started kicking off. So that wasn't a pleasant one. But we've played in some. Our run to this game has been pretty difficult, really. We've had Legia, AZ Alkmaar, Ajax, Lille. You know, we've played some big, big teams. So what have you made of Villa this season?
Well, I mean, I follow the Premier League generally anyway. I don't have a horse in the race, as it were. But, I've been really impressed with Aston Villa this season, because I don't think I quite expected the run to the top four like you guys have done. And, barring a massive collapse, you guys have sealed it, because Tottenham just are in a bit of transition with Ange Postecoglou, first Greek manager in the Premier League, by the way. And I think in terms of the Europa Conference League, how it was kind of different, because I almost expect you guys to be in this position, because, you know, you guys have the biggest financial means of any club in the Conference League. You guys have the best players. And so I think naturally you are the favourites. And if you guys beat us, go to the final and win, it's kind of the outcome I expected from when I first saw you guys qualify for the Conference League last season. So in that regard, your run's been tough, but you guys are where I expect you to be honest.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, just touch on then your thoughts of watching your quarterfinal, because, God, penalties. How nervy is that? Both of us went through on penalties, and it's horrible, isn't it? Like, you know, just knowing what's at stake and going to pens. And so how did you find it watching?
Well, the first leg was almost perfect. You know, we were 3-0 up by the hour mark in the first leg. We were cruising, and then we gave away a penalty, and then we conceded a goal from a silly header that should have been better defended in the box. And we almost drew the game from a 3-0 lead. And so we go to Turkey with, still a very good result, but it should have really been a 3-goal margin, because then it would have been so much more comfortable for us. And then, of course, in the first leg, within the first 10 minutes, we concede. And so it levels the tie. But it was weird, because we didn't play amazing in the second leg, but neither did Fenerbahce. Like, they didn't really jump on us after the equaliser in the tie overall. And so when it went to penalties, I felt genuinely very sick, as you did as well, I'm sure. But then for our young goalkeeper, Gostas Solakis, to save three out of five penalties, he was just the absolute hero that night. And it went from feeling sick to just feeling euphoric afterwards. And because he's the reason we are where we are now. You know, I wouldn't say we almost threw it away, but penalties is a coin toss, literally. So being where we are now because of him is huge.
Yeah, massive. I think that's it. I think we've gone through everything, really. We've had a real good insight into Olympiacos. You've educated me, and I'm sure you're going to educate plenty of Villa fans on the history and what we can expect. And just really look forward to it, and hopefully it's an exciting two-legged tie. And what I'll do is I'll tag your Twitter or X into the description of the video, and every Villa fan can go and drop you a follow and check out your thoughts as well. So thank you for coming on, mate.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Luke. It's been really fun. And like I said, I'm really excited because I don't think we'll ever get this opportunity again. You know, next season, we'll probably just bomb out of the round of 16 like we always do in insert European tournament here. So I'm just enjoying the ride. And May is going to be huge for Olympiacos because, like I said, there's a chance we could win a double, and one of them being a European Cup. You know, as unlikely as that is, and even the Super League, we might not win that, but it's going to be a hell of a ride this next month for us.
Cool. All the best, mate.
Cheers. You too.